Welcome, welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in now on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Joe Dex is here producing as ever. The one and only Parry Calfordy is in studio.
Hello.
Thanks. But I don't want to start it off on a low note, but listen.
We're wounded, Brendan.
We're wounded. Listen, but what a season it's been. I'm just trying to get my head around it all when I look at it all. And listen, we're going to obviously delve into the game. We're going to talk about both semi-finals. Later on the show, we're going to speak with Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News and Jason Byrne of The Sun. We're going to get an overview of the season. Just to weigh up the highs and lows. It was mostly highs, of course, for Donegal fans, and I think everybody will recognise that. Well done to Down at the weekend. First silverware since 94.
Well done, Down. Good achievement. And
been a while.
The Ulster teams are progressing, Brendan. I think it's going to be a clean sweep of Armagh can do it.
This sweep could come to fruition. I don't know, it'll be a tight one in the final. It's a 2005 since Armagh have won anything.
Yeah, well, look, it's quite some time. Big victory for them at the weekend, has to be said. You know, they were probably, Kerry would have been the favourites, but hey, look, it didn't pan out that way, and we'll just lick our wounds here, you know.
We'll get into it. Listen, I suppose you have to be, as the man says, magnanimous in defeat as well. That's part and parcel of it. It was another phenomenal season. We're going to be joined now by Frank McGlynn to come in Zoom, and so is our former All-Ireland winner, Frank the Tank McGlynn, and Ja Fallon is joining us as well. Are you there, lads?
Yeah, Brendan. Yep, here.
Frank, good Brendan, man, good man. You there, Ja?
I am there, Brendan. How are you?
Good, Ja. You're in another time zone. I heard you went out to do bodyguard for Trump there. You jumped on a jet out.
I'm here, I know, yeah. I just come out for a week, so yeah.
Yeah, good. Good man, good man. Listen, first up on behalf of us Donegal boys, I have to say congrats, back in another final. Just after 2022, the lads have pulled it back and back where you belong.
Tight squeeze, I suppose. You know, it was never going to be much in it. And I suppose we got a couple of fast enough decisions that went our way. That was the difference, really, in the end. There was nothing. You couldn't separate them there for long periods, second half. You know, so you know, it's a disappointing one for Donegal, I suppose. You know, it was kind of, had a couple of opportunities that might have forced it into extra time, but it wasn't to be.
Yeah, it wasn't to be. Frank, just you know, your memories of semi-finals there, and a lot of, you know, you played in three, there was two there that we won. Did you feel, Frank, in that first half, you know, the shooting of Donegal, the conversion rate, that, you know, out taking the Galway goal out, which was lucky we'd played the better football?
Yeah, I probably felt, you know, watching the game live and sitting at half time, I probably would have been even more confident. You know, going into the game, I don't think anybody could have been any more than 50-50 in both camps, I suppose, you know, with the years of football behind them. But I felt at half time, with the scores we were hitting and the confidence, you know, that the likes of Michael Langan, Kieran Thompson must have had going in at half time after hitting the Oisin Gallon, after hitting points like that. And not alone the points, but we seemed to be creating chances quite easily in the first half. You know, that, you know, there were scores, there were great scores, but there wasn't a huge amount of pressure coming from Galway in that first half, and to you know, to get rocked back by a fortuitous goal in any game, but in an All-Ireland semi-final. But, you know, you probably Bertie going straight up the field then and taking his man on for the first time and swinging his boot and closing the gap straight away. Then, you know, it showed that resolve that they'd been showing all year, and I suppose it just probably fed into the belief that at half-time that they were going to push on in that second half. But I suppose you have to give credit to Galway, you know. They made a few slight changes and probably put more pressure on the defensive side of things, so they did. And I suppose any chances they got in the second half, you know, they were good enough to go and take those chances.
And just on that, you know, Donegal had 3 points in a row twice in that first half, what Frank was saying there. We surprised sometimes at the modern game there that there seems to be a lot of space out there. You know, a couple of times there's a hand pass over the top, somebody's running in 30 yards out, they strike the ball over the bar. It sometimes doesn't seem to get into that real cut and thrust of championship. It didn't get that feel to end the second half for me.
Yeah, I suppose. Look, Donegal, in fairness, in the first test, there's a greater spread of scores. And, you know, we're lucky to get that's enough goal. You know what I mean? But that's really when Donegal started playing. You know, like Oisin, he was on fire, and fairness left and right. considering Michael Langan. Like, so it looked at half-time that they were in a good spot. But from our point of view, we think there was more scope for improvement. And for a long period of the second half, it was tit for tat. It wasn't. It was very cagey, I suppose. But, you know, that's the modern game, I suppose. And, you know, like that, we got a great return out of the two boys from Carrafin in the half-back lane, getting 2 points apiece in the second half, and had a big say, really, overall.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. And Frank, just on that, you know, a lot has been made about, and Jim has been talked about it, you know, 14 chances created first half, 10 points, which was good kicking, and then, you know, only 5 from 14 in the second half, you know. So it was the flip of the two halves, Frank, and every other game when we were under pressure this season, we were able to come up with the goods and find a way in that. It just felt that all of a sudden a lot of energy seemed to sap out of us and we didn't get any bounce from the bench.
Yeah, I suppose you could see that invisibly, you know, even on the pitch, you know, and around that 54th, 55th minute mark, you know, you just felt that, I suppose, that, you know, Owen Bann's injury was a huge blow as well. Like, he just drove up the field and been fouled for a free kick that Paddy put over the bar. And, you know, even the likes of Oisin Gallen and Pat McBurty, Jason McGee, you know, were probably losing energy at that vital time, you know, and I suppose the energy that we enjoyed against the likes of Armagh and Derry and Tyrone in those Ulster games just didn't seem to be there heading into that final straight that seems to be coming just that, you know, the one in period. You know, normally it was always a 10-15 minute spell after half time where a team would push on and settle the game before the last 10, where most of these games now all seem to be, teams almost seem comfortable that they drift along to the last 10 or 15 minutes and then they just really, really go at it. It was a similar scenario as well in the semi-final the previous night as well, that both teams kind of just were happy to go down the straight with each other and just nobody really went for the jugular earlier. But I suppose, as Jazz said there, I suppose Galway and, you know, the two half-backs there, and Q and Silk driving forward, you know, and clipping over those points really were the difference. And I suppose Donegal, it's fine margins, you know, that, you know, the shots they took on another day, they were sailing over the bar, and it was just, I suppose, those misses maybe sapped that energy, that little bit of energy out of the Donegal legs then at that vital time.
And Jack, pre-game, if you had told me, you know, obviously Kelly didn't make it, you know, Walsh was going to be fairly quiet. He was okay in a few moves, but really quiet by his standards. So was Comer. Kelly McDade, your man in the match the last day, very little involvement. If you'd have told me all that was going to happen, I'd say Donegal's definitely going to win this match. Well, from a Galway perspective, is it just a matter, Jav, of as Frank was mentioning there, likes of Silk and McHugh, you know, Conroy had moments in there, so had Finnerty had a few moments. Is it up just to, when players aren't operating, someone has to step up with a bit of brilliance, and you found that from different people from the previous game?
Yeah, they're definitely getting that a lot more than 3 years ago. Not to knock the squad there 3 years ago, but they're not as reliant on Damien and Shane, you know, and Killian got a great score, but he was quiet in general. You know what I mean? As you said yourself, you know, getting results with these guys being quiet, it's hopefully a good omen to find, you know, that you'll be looking for a greater return for them from them. You know what I mean? And they'll step up. They'll want to, in their second final, they'll really want to leave a mark and come out with it big. And they'll have to play against Armagh. As you know, there's fine lines. There's one score. It could be down to referee's decision. In all these games, and I go back to 3 years ago, really, it was a refereeing decision, really, that Galway felt they were hard done by, more than Donegal and a couple in the yesterday, and rightly so. So it's a fine line. So from a Galway point of view, I'd say the training will be ultra competitive. Sean will be looking for his place back and be pushing hard, and, you know, and Armagh are very like Galway, that, you know, there is a great impact from the bench. So it'll go down the stretch. Frank says more likely the final, and who knows what it'll come down to.
Yeah, Jad, do you know anything about that Kelly injury? Is it something you think will be read up?
It was a hamstring, anyway, that's all I do know. But the extra 2 weeks, it definitely, if you're giving them 4 weeks, and the fact that they didn't throw him in at any stage yesterday, should be hoping that he should be getting 20 minutes minimum, and maybe at half, you know. So that's what you'd be hoping to find, anyway, that you're going to have to throw him. The last game of the season, if you have him, and he's in middling form, you know, he... runs that he makes from deep, you know, can have serious impact.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I'll tell you who is Parik off the accredited list is my spy in Santry, who told me Walsh was definitely injured. Definitely. And hamstring, and it was no chance, and blah, blah, blah. And there he is, strutting the stuff.
I couldn't believe it when I seen him yesterday.
There's a double bluff going on with some of these guys now. They're being put out, information's been put out to throw you off.
It didn't look like it yesterday in spells, but there was an eagle on him, I'd say, Brendan, you know.
Yeah, he definitely was carrying a bit, yeah.
But as I say, we didn't feel the full brunt of him, you know, but we're going to have to re-evaluate our spies and...
I think so. We sent down that cryogenic, Frank. We gave her down there that cryogenic machine.
Whites and Wexford there one time.
We were down one time.
It was actually in preparation. It was in preparation for a game against yourselves in between replays in the club championship.
Was it?
It was.
There you go.
I'll
tell you.
We were sent down there one time after that league semi-final. It was a tight spot. There would be no rush back there, Frank.
No, definitely not. I was only once ever in it. Haven't ventured back yet, anyway.
Yeah. Frank, just looking at the tactics, did you get the feeling later on, Frank, when Galway went full court, you know, under the blanket, under defensive shape, did you feel a bit of a, we were given a wee bit of our own game there at times in terms of they were just going to sit and we then were playing out around the periphery and they were going to look for that turnover or poor shot and try and break up the pitch?
Yeah, that definitely was evident, so it was, you know, and Galway probably, you know, for such a big physical team, I probably expected them to put more pressure up the field, you know, with regards to our kickouts, but they seemed to be quite content even in the first half, you know, to let us have our own kickout and just simply defending. Well, they didn't defend with you know, a sheer blanket in the first half, you know. They kind of more or less just took a man-to-man approach and got back, if anyone was brave enough for Donegal to go in the attack, the man went back with them. But in the second half, there was definitely a shift in that last 15 minutes, and I suppose you probably have to hand it to Galway as well. It was well-timed as well, as in, you know, when you've got energy and you're fresh, you know, you can go and make those incisions and look for those soft shoulders and try and get through the gaps. But, you know, it becomes hard work, so it does, when you're in the last 10, 15 minutes and you're looking for those fine margins and maybe the head's not as clear as what it should be when the opportunity to shoot or to hit that final pass. And that probably did force Donegal into a few of those shots that were on, but they probably just weren't settled enough to make the most of them. And, you know, I suppose every miss at that stage of the game then, you know, was giving that confidence to Galway to come forward and get the scores. And, you know, and as I said, like it really has fine margins. And Jad had mentioned there, like, you know, those refereeing calls and even looking on the big screen, you know, Kieran Thompson's like for someone making a huge effort and unsteadying his feet and grabbing the ball and then managing, you know, whether it touched the grass or not. But it was a huge turnaround to get a free in after, you know, working so hard to get a turnover. And, you know, like Darrell Beale came up with a huge block and fell to a Galway man after it. And small things they got, you know, lands into Donegal man's hand, you're on the crest of a wave heading down the field with loads of energy in the body, you know, whereas, you know, you're rocked back again after, you know, what could have been a massive turnover in the game. And that's just the, you know, I suppose the level that Donegal and Galway have got to this year, that it is boiling down to those tiny margins. And I suppose just unfortunately for Donegal, it's disappointing that I suppose we come out in the wrong end of it yesterday.
Yeah, and just on that one off the ground, Langan had just kicked the equaliser, and Donegal, you know, you could feel there was a wee bit of a tide maybe turning, that Galway were going to start sitting a bit more rigid. That thing about touching the ball on the ground, yeah, you know, it's you're not allowed to pick the ball off the ground 200 unless it's hopping or bouncing. Now, if you're off balance and you're hitting the ground, it's kind of nearly impossible. You have to maybe drop the ball or throw it from you, which is technically a foul, or you have to fake a drop, not to kind of touch it. Do you know what I mean, yeah? It's not as if you're getting an advantage of a player. Well, now, I know by the letter of the law, you the ball did seem to brush the ground, but I always think that, is that a very harsh implementation of the rule at an absolutely critical point in the game?
Absolutely, because I thought really it was no free, because he caught the ball before he touched the ground with the ball in his hands. There's no way other way. It's different if he took the ball on the ground when he reached out the time, but there was a clear gap between his hands and touching the ground before he hit the ground. So it was a tough call. And it maybe, and not that you want to be going upstairs for a little bit of help or assistance at that stage in the game, but it might be something that you have to look at for big calls like that. You know, because it was a turning point. There's no doubt it's a turning point. You know, and I suppose Ryan was unlucky too. He had two guys when he got a ball and he was breaking and he was turning and the guys were pulling it back and he was caught over carrying. you know, it's like there is a fine, they're fine calls. There are margins that had that were in Galway's favour yesterday, and that's what's the only difference I could see, really. And it just forced Donegal to have a few shots near the end that maybe they were a slight bit out of the scoring zone. That's what that does to you when you're against the clock.
Frustrating, I would say, and you could see the frustration on Ryan's face yesterday after that call. You know, that it might have been the third call that maybe when Galway was.
Did you get the sense with Ryan, maybe because of his age and that and what he's put in this year, that you know time. You know, people saying with beginners 3 years to the plan that, but if you're a player at a certain age, you might think
there is no next year. You know,
might get back. You know, might. No, I'm not saying Ryan McHugh's going to hang up the boots. He's had a brilliant season. But I'm just saying sometimes opportunity mightn't get back. You know, you're thinking we're one step away from the ultimate again.
I suppose you could look at it two ways, Brennan. You know, you can look at it that way. You could look at it the positive side of it, where how far they came. But I suppose from the Donegal point of view, it was those small wee aspects that Frank has and Jazz outlined there that just didn't go our way. The ball didn't bounce for us. The goal was a wee bit, you know, it was one of those kind of freak goals as well. You know, someone runs in front of Sean Patton. You know, that happens, and unfortunately it happened to Donegal. But just those small little aspects throughout the game, maybe it just wasn't our day. And as Frank has alluded to, going down the stretch as well, the Donegal, how do you say it? You know, they put so much into the first half. The goal went in, but straight away Patrick got up, got a point. A lot of energy there. And look, do you look at it? Do you look at that performance maybe and analyse it that holding a bit of that back for the second half is something Donegal will do for next year? Look, time will tell, but I would look on the positive side of it anyway.
Yeah. We've got to look on the positive side. Frank, you know, funny, if you're thinking if you're an Armagh side in the Ulster final or Tyrone in the semi, you're looking back at these points. We never look at them now, because when you win the game, you forget about the wee things. When you lose it, you go to those wee moments, Frank. A lot of people asking about, you mentioned Owen Bannon 100% about that losing a player that might have been able to break the line. A lot of people have been questioning McBurdy coming off. Where do you stand on that, Frank?
Look, I suppose it's one of those ones, you know, that Patrick has probably been, you know, hasn't started some of the games and then has been taken off, you know, in those latter stages. It has happened before, and as you say, it takes on a different look then, you know, when you come out in the wrong end of the wrong end of the result. I felt myself, I suppose, personally looking at Patrick yesterday, I felt he had the bit between his teeth. Yeah. You know, the score after the goal was a massive score for him, you know, was, I suppose, as a leader, one of the leaders of the team, you know, and, you know, the free kick he hit, and it scored another as well, you know, and it felt he was showing it, whether that energy was still going to be there for the last 10 or 15 minutes, you know, who was to say. It might have been a case where maybe, you know, the energy had sapped out of him, and they felt maybe there was probably more energy in a fresh player coming in for the stretch. But I think maybe I would rather have him on the pitch than not on the pitch in those crucial moments, because I think it became apparent watching, you know, that Langan was one of your go-to men. You know, Ryan McHugh was looking to dip the shoulder to break those gaps, you know, and those were the players that you were looking for. You know, Patrick would have been in that bracket as well if he was on the pitch, you know, to one of the players that would have been popped the ball, and probably people would have expected something from him, maybe.
Yeah. And just before the game, after you mentioned, there was a lovely tribute to your old manager, John O'Mahony, after his passing there. And, you know, there was a lot of emotion there, obviously, no more than yourself, Pádraig Joyce, no real lieutenants of John, and it was a beautiful tribute at the start, and it just stirred up, I think, a lot of emotion in all the Galway people, and it was a beautiful fitting start to the match.
It was, yeah, and it was a fitting result as well. So, you know, John was definitely looking down us. Yeah. I got the rub of the green, fairness to him, and it was a tough week, and very sad, and like we're sure during the weekend, but back on memories, too young to die, poor man, and you know, it was just sad, but it was fitting that we got the results. And, you know, it's no good unless you go and finish your job now. And I suppose our man is saying, can't, the one to win is the one you're in, you know. But I'm sure Pádraig had a few words to stir the boys up beforehand, you know, what John did with us back a number of years ago. So,
Pádraig there, you know, because a lot of people, I think after 2022, you came in, you know, there was a brilliant brand of football. Galway have changed over time. They've became a wee bit more streetwise, like what they did in the second half, dropping right in. Like they are like a kind of like a battle hardened team. McGuinness referenced that after, and maybe a wee bit further down. Does Joyce get enough credit for how he's moulded this team and all the, you know, injuries and things that he's had to come through?
In fairness, like he's three kind of titles in a row, which is absolutely fantastic. Back in an Iron final, Warwick's a very smart boy, you know, and you know, he has learned, like everyone else that's in his county talk, I suppose that originally that you could kick the lights out. But the modern game, you can't do that. You have to get the mix and, you know, and get the return. And he's done that. And the Ivory tight game this year, we've come out of, you know, and Porrick is the last to be, like, it's all on his bat, really, that he's setting the boys up that way with his backroom team. So there's definitely, like, the 5 years, they've come on leaps and bounds. Do you know what I mean? And there's, maybe to say 2 or 3 years ago in the final that we didn't have the squad and the boys come off the bench, but and we're still missing a good few boys that could have been available to us. Yeah. You know, he's gone with and showed faith in the lads, and you know, we have the squad good enough to bring it home, you know, and hats off to Warwick. Like, he really has to do it as a player and hopefully to do it as a manager, you know, there's very few. And Porrick, it was always that capable, you know, how they were playing, and you see that as the manager coming out as well.
Yeah, 100%. Frank, just on, you know, that finish thing, you know, we spoke about those moments at the end, you know, and players had to go for it. They were kind of difficult enough opportunities, you know, with Boyle and Kieran Thompson and Langan, you know, they were fine. You would expect them, one of those to go over, the free from Gallen, you know, as you said there, it just seemed like that wee bit of energy and life had sucked out of us. Do you put any of that, Frank, down to the run through the season in terms of the training really been up with the guys, the tough Ulster? Is there any thought of that, Frank, or was it just one of those days where, you know, we couldn't get that bit of life back in this and we couldn't get anything from the bench? Would you put any down to fatigue?
I think possibly you could, you know, looking back, like, you know, if you were to track through the year and possibly through Galway's year, you know, those titanic battles, like, you know, beginning with Derry, I think it was back, was what, 17th April or something, or 20th April maybe, you know, when they began, and then, you know, we had Tyrone extra time, Armagh extra time, penalties, you know, and then suddenly you're the Ulster champions, but then you're refocusing again and heading into a three-group game, you know, and brilliant start against Tyrone, but then the journey to Cork put a spanner in it where you had to go again and you know, make sure of the top spot. You could make that argument, but I probably just felt even Louth in the quarter final, I didn't feel the same energy was there while there were comfortable winners that day. You know, even, you know, Louth caused us certain problems even from kickouts too. You know, when they broke from their own kickouts, they seemed to get at us, you know, easier than previous games, you know. So perhaps there was that little bit of fatigue setting in, you know, gradually building into the players from game to game. Because of the level that, I suppose, when you go back to before the Derry game, you know, Donegal had to be at the peak. Like, they were going in against, you know, Derry, who were 2 years Ulster champions, you know, and that, you know, people would look at that game now as if say, oh, they should have won that game, but, you know, they were ranked outsiders to go into Celtic Park and won that game. So you can just imagine, I suppose, the training and the fitness work and the preparation for that first initial game, even just to get up and running for the year. And, you know, and sometimes it's a big ask then to continue that rather than starting off a year maybe being expected to win your province, you know, and saunter through quite easily and then step it up for the remainder. So there is always going to be that argument, and I suppose, and unfortunately, you know, in the Ulster Championship, you're always going to have that argument, so you are, but you wouldn't change it with an Ulster medal in the back pocket, you know, for the players this year. Yeah. It's just going to be, I suppose, it's I suppose in players, I know myself, if I was a player involved in that team, I wouldn't want to hear about year two or next year or we'll go one step further next year. Not at this time. I know, you know, perhaps getting back into the beginning of next year when they get back up and running again, that can become the focus. But for now and for these next couple of weeks for those players, it's not going to sit well that, you know, they had that opportunity and had that chance and they weren't that far away from it. You know, they were within touching distance, and hopefully that maybe will be the kickstart or the fire that they need to launch again for next year.
Yeah. I'll tell you, two groups of players who won't have any fatigue is Armagh and Galway. I know, I'm sure you probably got a few texts already for tickets, I know. this ticket, it's the only drawback to any big game, isn't it? it's a small one, but it can be an awkward one.
Yeah, well, it's a good complaint, you know, something to look forward to. You'd be just hoping that you turn up one day, and there's not going to be a whole lot in experience, you know. Please God, you know, the only fear, well, I wouldn't say fear from a goal point of view, like, in fairness to Armada, there's a lot of ball players, footballers, and if they do cut loose, it probably won't happen. It fits the stars probably in the final, because it'll probably end up being so cagey at times. But it has the potential to be a cracking game, in fairness.
And Frank, do you think the previous game of Galway really bossed Armada? I know they came back with that 1-1, that poor kick from Gleeson and brought back. Do you think it's actually Armada maybe have learned more than that, Frank, when a team kind of, you know, exerts that type of play on you? It's often like Armada maybe will learn more than that, even though you'd think confidence-wise Galway will think we have these boys. You know, Armada seem to have some kind of energy and drive, and they have the crazy fans and that with them as well. And do you think, Frank, that as Ja was saying, again, a bit like Donegal and Galway, it's an impossible final to call?
It is an impossible final to call, but I think it's well primed and well set up for both teams to really go at it. You know, with Galway, with that disappointment a couple of years ago against Kerry, you know, not getting over the line, and with Armagh, you know, where they haven't been beaten in normal time in Championship football, you know, they're still crying out for that big victory, you know. And I would hope, I don't know if it'll pan out that way, but I would hope both teams will really go at it from the start, you know, and rather than waiting for the last 10, 15 minutes, that one team is brave enough to really go for it at the beginning of the game, to go all out and go for it. And I think Armagh, you know, physically as well, they're well placed to match Galway. You know, Galway are a big physical side around the middle of the field, and Armagh are well placed to match that. So it's evenly poised, and as I said, it's going to be down to the fine margins, and it's going to be down to some of those individual players who's going to be brave enough to, you know, to take the game by the scruff of the neck or take on a shot that possibly shouldn't be taken on, or take their man on at a time when maybe there's no room to do it. And it's going to be those individual moments, I think, that's going to win it for either one of the two teams.
Yeah. And wee moments is right. Frank, thanks so much for wrapping it up. And Ja out there in America, say hello to Trump for us there, if he can hear you. You need to say it in his left ear, is it? His right one's not working anymore.
His right one now.
Is it?
Yeah.
You seem to know a lot about it.
I don't know anything about it, no. Ja's probably looking for tickets, are you, Ja? He'll have a sign outside.
Frank's your man. Thanks, all the
kids. That's a good one. You only need a 2-week window now.
I got a call today. I got a call today from a woman from Armagh. I says, you know, I have 400 cousins in Galway. I says, never mind. You ask me for tickets. Listen, thanks so much for wrapping that up, Frank McGlynn and Jack Fallon, to all Ireland champs there, wrapping up the action from yesterday. Appreciate that, lads.
Thanks, Brendan.
See you. See you.
That's great talking to the two boys, saying, listen, two absolute top legends of the game. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk with Jason Byrne of The Sun.
Be Killy Beggs, man.
There were two Donegal men.
Killy Beggs and Ardra. Hopefully they don't fall out with each other, will they?
Killy Beggs and Ardra. right?
We'll see.
Milford?
Huh?
Ferry?
Oh, Ryan Ferry, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I was trying to think, did he move at some stage?
No, I thought you said someone else.
That's all right. We'll be speaking to him after break, we'll chat to him. Yes, folks, welcome back again to the second part of the DL debate here. We're just having a wee yarn off air and who's what and what's happening next. And we're going to delve into Donegal and into what's looking ahead to the All-Ireland final. And, of course, looking into next season and really summing up where Donegal. And, Park, you were saying previously that, you know, all in all, when the dust settles, it's been a great season. And Jason Byrne and Frank... you were talking about Frank previous to that there.
The wrong Frank. I was on about different Frank.
You put it. It's Ryan Ferry, Jason Byrne. Jason and Ryan, are you there?
Evening, lads.
How are you getting on?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm here too, boys, and Frank Craig couldn't lace my boots, to be honest.
Exactly, this man started on me. He thought I was going to say Frank Craig, and then he put it on the head there, but of course you
could. No, sorry, Milford and Killybegs, you know, there's always a battle there.
It's been a miserable enough Monday without getting that thrown at me too, you know.
Hugs all around.
We're a wee bit sensitive today, Ryan. Listen, it was a tough one up there in terms of just the way it finished. I mean, you just got that sense of it wasn't to be, which is a horrible way to finish a game.
Yeah, it was. I suppose it got really at the end, the way it played out, you know, for probably for 62 minutes, we're well in the game, and you know, you were dreaming of getting through to the big final, and probably just maybe a couple of key moments in the last 10 minutes that maybe just didn't go Donegal's way, and yeah, you have to hand it to Galway. They finished really strong and advanced through to the All-Ireland final, and I think we were wondering would we be doing 40-page supplements and stuff like that. So it's all shelved for 12 months at least anyway.
Yes indeed. And listen, what's your thinking on that, Park, that as we come down the straights there, that it wasn't going to happen?
Well, there's just those couple of things that didn't go our way, and I suppose what we got a lot of change out of Patter's runs and Owen Bann going off. I thought when Owen Bann went off, I thought that was a massive blow for us, because that energy from deep, and he was finding those pockets and creating those opportunities at times, and you know that free that Patrick put over the bar. But I thought, Owen Bann going off, he also had Jason McGee going off and Frank McBurdy going off at the one time. You know, three bigs. You know, two of them were substitutions, and one of them was just a bit of a game changer there. But just coming down that last 10, the energy, the shots Donegal were taking in the first half, going over the bar, you just couldn't get one away in the last 10 minutes. It felt like, you know, but yeah. It was fatigue at the end.
We were just talking about that. Jason, tell me, Jason, just looking at the game previous, Jason, you look at the impact of Charlie O'Byrne and McQuillan scoring and winning kickouts and Oisin O'Neill. Do we not have that depth there? Jason, you know, do you think it's something that's just lacking? Because, you know, just as the previous lads was talking there, games are all coming down to those last, you know, 5 to 10 minute spells. You need pace, you need injection, you need energy.
Yeah, that's definitely true, Brendan. It could be a case, like I know Pádraig Joyce mentioned straight away yesterday, like that maybe Galway are a bit further down the road than Donegal in terms of their development and that. And I know Jim didn't want to talk about year one and stuff like that, but like, you know, maybe just a few of the lads on the bench and that, and a bit of the depth that's needed. Maybe just some of those players just aren't fully developed yet, I'm not sure, like, but it's hard to kind of put your finger on it, isn't it? Like it's, you know.
Were you surprised, Jason, and like Jamie Brennan there, you know, often comes on for that impact thing. Obviously, Conor Donald was a huge loss in terms of at least having coming off the bench. And then even Niall come in, didn't seem to be moving as well as he normally is. You know, you probably, you know, there and, you know, you usually get a bit of energy from those guys.
Yeah, exactly, Brendan. It was just, kind of one of those days where, you know, maybe we didn't get the impact that we would have liked, but I don't know, it was probably a very, very difficult game to come into as well when you think about it, when it's in the melting pot like that, the likes of Steve McMenamin and that, how fit was he all year? Jason McGee was struggling with that hamstring injury. Hugh McFadden wasn't fit until after the Ulster final. You know, all these different things that Jim McGuinness had to deal with in the background, and even mentioning Owen Bann going off, he wasn't fit until the Ulster final either, and I know he was kind of struggling with different problems all year too, so you know, it's those fine margins, you need lads to be kind of full fit and ready for the whole championship anyway, you'll probably survive it during the league, as Galway have definitely proven, because I went to a couple of Galway games during the league, and if you'd have told me that they'd have been in an All-Ireland final, I would have said you were crackers. But I think a lot of those injuries in the background maybe kind of hampered the progress of a lot of players too. So maybe that was a factor. I'm not sure. I know Jim was so disappointed yesterday, and obviously the players are as well. But if I'm a glass half full kind of guy, you are as well, DB. But if you'd have said this to us 12 months ago, you know, I think everyone would have said you were mad as well. So
what's on that glass? Oh, I'd like to know. You're going to be big. Yeah, it's going to be bad company.
Probably Heineken.
Water. 0-0.
Water.
That's an interesting point, Ryan. See on that, you know, just there, Jason, but seeing Galway in the league, you know, very much our neighbours in Derry. You know, Josh was building, and he said it from the get-go, you know, it's all about championship. This is what it's about. You know, the league is for the league. He wasn't worried. You know, he had the broad shoulders to say, here, we're just going to try and stay up. And they just did manage that. But it was irrelevant. It was about coming to the championship, and now they are coming and they've timed it nicely. Now, you'd have to admire the way Galway have pulled us all together, and now they look like a completely different team from the question marks that were hanging over them in the league.
They absolutely do. And I suppose, like, you know, we probably always said at this stage of the year, and we'll get carried away again next February and March, but like, the league really doesn't matter that much at all. And, you know, like, Dublin won the All-Ireland last year from Division 2. Armagh could win it this year from Division 2. So, you know, you get worked up about these things at the time, and maybe it doesn't have that much importance at all. And I suppose, you know, you'd have to look at Galway. They played a lot of younger players during the league to fill the void. And it might be a year or two before we see those players really come through. And it was back to the tried and trusted as such in the championship. And they've been managing players and, you know, getting men on the field, you know, when they're clearly not at 100%, but getting them through. And, you know, they just have built up that experience now. And, you know, I suppose if you had said yesterday, Brendan, before the match, that we, you know, Donegal would keep a good eye on Shane Walsh and Comer, and, you know, Finnerty would be kept to 2 points, and Killian McDade would be quiet, you know, you would have been thinking you'd win the game. But, definitely, you know, we have to hand it to their defence. You know, they're a real strong rear guard there, and they held out. And, you know, they're definitely, you know, Joyce is a good leader as well. Like, you know, you can see why the players want to play for him and believe in him. And of course, he's a legend as well from his own playing day. So yeah, he's got the balance right. And you know, and probably looking ahead for Donegal, you know, Donegal probably went hard at it this year, Brendan, from early in the year. You know, there was a training camp in December and things like that. So, you know, looking forward to next year, there might be a wee bit of a change in approach for that for Donegal as well. You know, when they look at how you peak and be ready for championship time.
Yeah. And do you think Jason O'Donegal did, but like Galway, we've seen them in the league, they were just ticking over, if you like, even right up in the league final. They didn't look like they were going full tilt, and then bang, they came into Ulster with that Derry performance. You know, Jim in many ways had the same attitude as Joyce's, only as with Joyce's, he only get ready for one big game, if you like, which was the Connacht final. Do you think that there hampered Donegal some way? Because we were just chatting previously about the bit of energy not being there in Donegal towards the end. Do you think that the season took its toll on the players?
Maybe, Brendan. It's an interesting point. Like obviously, the Derry game was just etched into Jim's mind from day dot. You know, I think the draw was done last October, and it was just April 20th, and then all of a sudden they go on stage that brilliant ambush, and next thing you have to get ready for Tyrone, and they get over that after extra time by just sticking to the process. And then Armagh again, sticking to the process, and Clonus and getting over the line and penalties, and then Tyrone again, and then you know, just getting the job done after that kind of blip in the radar against Cork. You know, it was probably a bit of a kick in the backside that they needed, and a fully professional performance against Clare, although it probably didn't do them any good. And then you know, coming into Croke Park to play Louth in a game where, you know, there was plenty to work on afterwards, despite the comprehensive results. So maybe those earlier rounds, those battles, like, did come back to maybe, you know, take a bit out of the legs in the end up, I'm not sure. Like, but like, Galway had plenty of big battles as well. Like, you know, they really got out of jail against Sligo and Connacht.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had that late point from Conor Gleeson to beat Mayo. You know, Westmeath ran them very close too. It took a late goal from Shane Walsh to see them off. But as Ryan mentioned there, I think their defence has been the massive difference. They've only conceded one goal in the entire championship, which, incidentally enough, came against Armagh in that group stage game, which finished a draw. Like, so I think the likes of Johnny McGrath and Sean Mulcairn and all these boys have really come on leaps and bounds when Joyce needed players to kind of step up in the absence of big stars being injured. So hopefully a few of the Donegal lads in the background can come on and do that next year. Like, you know, the likes of Evan Broderick and Philip Doherty and these boys have been working so hard in the background without maybe making the 26. You know, you'd think year two under Jim's tutelage and with Colin McFadden and Neil McGee and the boys in the background that we'll see a lot more of players like that next year too, and that'll raise the whole thing again. Like, I don't think anyone's going to be retiring from the Donegal panel. Like, you know, Ryan McHughes took a well-earned break last year. He was brilliant for so many stages this year too, and, like, you know, you'd imagine he'll only be sharper next year. I doubt McBurdy will step away. even though he's in the 30 bracket now, Hugh McFadden the same. So like there's so much to look forward to for next year, there really, really is. So hopefully we'll see some more of those fringe boys as well, making a massive push and getting some game time in the league and giving Jim plenty to think about coming to the championship next summer.
Yeah, and you concur with that, Ryan. You know, you look at obviously Derry and Armagh under 17 final, Tyrone won under 20s. Do we need to pull, is there players there, Ryan, you think can come in next year? You know, is the club championship important now that we might unearth one or two more that can come in and make a difference? Because it looks like the likes of Armagh and Galway and these sides, they do have a few more impact players with us that are so vital. Of course, the buy-in with Jim Jason was saying there, is so huge because nobody wants to leave because anything's possible. So, you know, between the young lads and people staying in it, we should be able to maybe have a stronger squad next season.
Yeah, we should. Now, it'll be interesting with the club championship. I think probably somebody's going to have to be really, really impressive to come from outside the panel this year, because you know it was a large panel that was kept from the start of the year, you know, and Jim cast the net wide, you know, at the start of the year as well. So I think somebody's probably going to have to be shooting the lights out really to work their way in. I think, as Jason said, it's probably boys that have been on the fringes, maybe the likes of the under 20s, the Oisin Caulfields and the Luke McGlynn's, you know, that maybe will be with a winter of S&C under their belts, maybe force their way into the picture. But you're right, like, you know, you need to get that extra player or two through every year. And, you know, you look at Armagh, you know, they've got Young McGrain a cornerback through this year. Kerry got Killian Burke through, you know. So all those top teams, although they've got settled sides, you know, they're bringing through one or two every year. And Donegal are going to have to do that as well. They're going to have to get, you know, somebody who's been on the fringes or not involved, you know, at least making maybe the match day 26 next year, you know, just to push it on and put players under pressure. And, you know, there is still a good age profile there with the Donegal team, you know, is that the minor side from 2014, you know, most of them will be 29 next season. And, you know, there was another good couple of minor teams came after that. But you need those younger players coming through and bringing that enthusiasm and the extra bit of energy to it as well. And that's all going to be needed next year, because, you know, there was a big body of work put in this year, and, you know, it'll be tough on the bodies, and a break's going to be needed, and they're going to have to go again in 2025.
Yes, indeed. Just on 2025, you know, if you look at the similarities, 2011 and Donegal's Ulster won the famous booed game just against Dublin, where people weren't too happy with Donegal tactics. Little did they know what was coming in the future, but... you know, it's a change. It's a different world now, though, Jason. Right? You know, this is, everyone is pretty street smart around tactics and that. So it's not as if they're necessarily, no, we're hoping they are, but there can't be this huge maybe lift from one year to the next. You know, Donegal come in, try and unearth a few extra players, but you'd imagine it's similar tactics as most teams are playing.
Yeah, you would think so, Brent. Like, you know, I thought when Donegal were at full tilt this year with the running game, like, they were exceptional. Like, you know, the fact that Pater Mogan's probably a nailed-on all-star probably speaks for itself in that regard, you know what I mean? And just, like, you know, it's still vital to have your strong midfield pairing as well. Like, you know, when maybe at times when the blanket defence was extreme, when that wasn't a necessity anymore, I think it is again. So, like, you know, we have one ready-made there in Michael Langan and Jason McGee, with Tiernan Thompson ready to go in there as well as the third man. Like, I thought Langan was exceptional yesterday. I thought it was one of his best ever performances in a Donegal jersey. Even though he had that wayward shot at the end, like, you know, we'll forgive him for that, given the overall performance from him and kicking 4 points from play. And, like, you look at Galway's midfield and even Kerry getting their midfield right again, albeit they lost on Saturday. Like, I think that's a massive part of the game now again. That's kind of coming full circle. So I think in terms of how the game's been played at the minute, I think Donegal are in great shape. We've an excellent goalkeeper, an excellent defence. You know, your own man, DB Kieran Moore, has been phenomenal for me. You know, you've kept him a well-kept secret up there, like, because I remember a lot of boys texting me during the McKenna Cup and that, saying, who's this lad? But everyone certainly knows who he is now. And, you know, as Ryan kind of touched on there, it would take someone at that level to get into the panel again, hopefully in the club championship. It'll be interesting to see who takes Jim's fancy from that when that gets underway next month. So, you know, there's a lot to look forward to. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Jim approaches these new potential rule changes that could be trialed next year. Like, there's a special Congress in December. So I know that group are working away in the background, and Michael Murphy's busy working with them too. So be interesting to see what comes out of that. And no doubt Jim McGuinness will have plenty of food for thought on what comes out of that. And it'll be interesting to see what kind of tricks he comes up his sleeve to kind of work with those two.
Yeah, just on Moore, obviously, in Oisin's show last week, Tony Boyle made reference to the back of John Hearn. It said that Moore's not ready this year. It'll be next year, maybe before people be near the team. So poor John there. Listen, but Moore, in fairness, I mean, he's just one of them times a player just basically, you would have thought he would have been a squad player. And what an absolute season it. One other player I have to mention, Park, is McColl. You know, because we were talking about the forward play and all that. You know, he's marking Comer, who's an absolute handful.
Beast.
But the first two balls come in, he robbed them off him. You know, McColl, there's very few man markers in the country now. You look at the brilliance of the good game of Cambridge had yesterday for a man. You need at least one, because every team's going to have an out-and-out danger man. If you look at the run around, I thought Gallen, Silk couldn't get near him. In fact, I thought we should have isolated Gallen inside and just put the ball under him. You left Gallen in there, put it under him, because Silk, he didn't look like he could run.
He had the legs on him, we probably didn't.
But McColl, like, I would say McColl and Gallen are great for each other training too, because it would fairly, I would say there's some battles there for them too.
But McColl's been phenomenal this year again, like, you know, I think
very few teams have players like that.
No, and you think of top players that he's marked out of the game, you know, you're going in and you're thinking, going in this weekend against Comer, he's strong, he's powerful, he's everything else, but he got very little off Bryn McColl yesterday, so.
There was even a nod, hey, one tossed in. Is that the difference, I suppose, right now, in terms of tactics, and we talk about the three goals at the weekend, we're all mishit shots. Is that, you know, in a very tactically set game now, is it the odd or the weird or the freeze? Or, you know, it comes down to something that you can't plan for, which seems to turn a lot of these games.
Well, it quite often does, and I suppose, you know, defenders are, I've got used to the way football is now, and there's very few high balls coming in, and like, you know, the high balls that came in yesterday for Galway caused damage, you know, and like I remember Ryan McHugh clearing up one in the second half, but the other balls that came in were all dangerous, and Galway got scores from them. So, you know, and that is something I suppose people, you know, will point to Donegal, that, you know, I think maybe in the league final, Jason McGee kicked in a high ball to Oisin Gallen, but, you know, there were few and far between, really. Like, you know, it's pretty much running everything, and it'll be interesting to see if Donegal can develop that. Because
do you think, you know, we need to develop that, Ryan? Do you think it's something we need more kick passing, or some element of more kick passing in our game?
Well, I think it would definitely help, but have we got the players in the county, Bren, you know, to do it? Like, you know, we're looking at it, and maybe we do, but the way club football is played, we don't see them. You know, have we got that powerful ball winner like a Damien Comer in the county that's maybe not from Glenswilly and not playing anymore? Yeah. You know,
who scored 3-6 at the weekend? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we. You know, it's okay saying, oh, you know, there should be this other side, but maybe it wouldn't, maybe it doesn't suit the player and personnel that are there at the minute, like, you know. So, but it is, like, I'm sure the management team will be looking at all elements, like, you know, the kickouts is another thing for next year. You know, they never quite got that press right throughout the season, bar against the young goalkeeper from Clare, you know. So, there's a lot of things to work on, but sure. There's plenty of time to do it now over the winter.
There is indeed plenty of planning. Jason, still, you know, bright future heading into next year. Donegal are back in that top, like, six-team situation in Ireland where, listen, we can plan for an assault on Ulster. We're back in Division 1. And, listen, we'll obviously deal with those two things before we dream of anything bigger.
Yeah, that's it, Brendan. Like, you know, like, all through this year, like, I kept just remembering last summer and, you know, how downbeat everyone was. Like, I remember, like, I was up at home in Killybegs the week of the Derry game, and it was just kind of a silent excitement. There was a real buzz around the town, and it probably helped with the fact that we had three lads in the panel this year, but, like, you could really sense that, you know,
the buzz,
everyone in the county had a massive lift already, and that was only after winning Division 2.
Yeah.
You know, that's all we had to base things on. Like, you think back to the scenes in Clonus when they won the Ulster final, like, you know, it was absolutely magical. And like, the thoughts of anything remotely like that happening this year after last year was just so far off the wall. Like, but you know, Jim's come back and really kind of saved the day and restored a lot of pride. Like, because there must have been a lot of hurt there last year after the way everything transpired. Like, nothing really went right. It was kind of rock bottom in a lot of ways. Like, you know, so I'm delighted for like the panel and everybody concerned, like that the players just brought that back to the people of the county too, because, you know, they were really crying out for it. Like, we've probably been victims of our own standards under Jim when he was in charge the last time. Like, and, you know, Declan done some great work as manager as well, and just, you know, won a couple of Ulster titles, but just getting back to that All-Ireland semi-final was just kind of beyond us there. And it's hard to believe that it took us 10 years to get back there, but we've done that, albeit the disappointing result. And, you know, to be so, so close next year, and, you know, they know what they have to do. They know the things they have to work on as well.
They do, they do indeed. And Joe Dex is telling me I need to work on the end of this show. Les, thanks so much for joining us. That was first class, as ever, on the DL Debate. Frank Ferry. Frank Ferry. You can Frank
Ferry.
There
you go.
Ryan Ferry.
I'm really blaming me.
Ryan Ferry, just burnt. Thanks very much. I'll speak to you all next week.
Take care.